This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome. It's now time for The Property Show every Friday. Julian Ng joins us today as well. Julian, what have you got for us today?
Today we have Fadila Baharin from the Department of Standards Malaysia on the topic of disabled-friendly homes.
Ah, that's true. That's something that's really lacking here in Malaysia, isn't it?
Absolutely, David. In fact, Fadila estimates only about 40% of public buildings today are disabled-friendly.
Oh, okay. Let's take a listen and see.
Fadila, this department used to be CIRM, didn't it?
Yes, Julian, before the Department of Standards Malaysia, it was CIRM. CIRM then was the full government entity. And then I think sometime way back in the year 1996, government decided that they need to be corporatized. Hence, we were established. And in fact, in a way, we were like a spin-off from CIRM. And we are still the full government entity developing standards for the country and also representing Malaysia at the international forum of standards like ISO. And CIRM is now the Berhad part where they need to find money for them to be self-sustaining. Mm.
So as far as standards for the Department of Standards of Malaysia, what kind of standards are in place for the disabled?
Okay, for the disabled, effectively, one of the key standards that is in place at the moment is one we call it the MS, or in full it is Malaysian standards. The number is MS1184. So this particular standard is about universal design. That is one word which I think we need to start to be using in a manner, because if we talk to our colleagues out there, They would rather say that we are not having accessible to such facilities. And then the word, before that, the title of our standard was about the disabled, but this time we've changed the title to become universal design. So this is particular standard is one of the, four or five standards that is relevant to this group of people, effectively.
Okay, very interesting. Tell us something more about this universal design.
Okay, universal design is something which is quite recent in the area of ISO. Before, I think there are countries like Japan, the Germans. In fact, if you notice Europe, they are very accessible, friendly to the handicapped, basically. And universal design is one concept which is being pushed very hard, effectively. And frankly speaking, I notice it's by the Japanese. Because if you notice, many of the people are old-aged. And that was where they started to create this kind of a standard. And whatever design that is happening all around the city, it is accessible now by many of the old folks out there. And they managed to push this kind of requirements or standards even now at the international arena, which is ISO. And we learn a lot from the Japanese as well. And I tell you, frankly, in Malaysia, the population of the old age are also rising, and I think it's also, I'm talking about myself as well, right? Maybe by the
year... You don't look old.
Thank you.
At all.
By the year 2020, for example, I hope that when the standards, the standard is up now, and we've got people practicing it, and whatever infrastructure that has been developed now, all right, and it will be hopefully stable, and by 2020, people like me are having accessible to all of whatever that the youngs are having. So this is the kind of concept which we are pushing very hard, effectively. Creating change, Julian, is always a challenge, right? The if you talk to friends out there who are developing complexes, buildings, they'll be saying, oh, it's going to be cost. But I think if we don't start now, all right, we will never start.
Okay, let's just take a step back. And could you take us through how these standards are formed?
Okay, standards effectively are formed or established when there is a need, for example. Right, so when there is a need for, like in the area of buildings, the regulators, for example, a very living example, like our friends from the DBKL, Right, they felt that whatever building that is required before they issue out their CCC or Certificate of Fitness or whatever it is, they must make sure that the design complies with certain kind of requirements. And they felt that certain kind of requirements should be transparent. And standard is the kind of a tool, which we call it, for standards to be made accessible to architects, engineers, making sure that they meet the criteria, for example, to DBKL. And when such standards are being adhered, complied to, for example, it will be easier for users or even developers to be adhering to requirements of, for example, DBKL. In fact, the process of standards is very transparent. Standards are being developed not by Standards Malaysia effectively, but we make sure that the governance of it, all right, it is being participated by the industries, the regulators, the government, NGOs. But this one is very interesting. I just want to share you with you, Julian. Because it is universal design, many of the experts are from the handicapped themselves. So I think this is one unique part of where the standard experts come in for Malaysia.
Okay, so a little bit of education here. What do you think are the various forms of disability? I mean, you mentioned old age as being one, and that's quite interesting because that's usually out of how we think about disability. And are all these disability covered by the Act, in particular, the Disability Act of 2008?
Mm-hmm. Okay. A very obvious example are children, for example, right? They are people who, to me, are vulnerable kind of a group of people who are not, all right, the handicapped is one, the old aged is one. Now, young children, for example, right, they are not being able to have accessible to some sort of, for example, like the mall, or rather when they go to the restroom, they should be accompanied, things like that. So the space of the such restrooms must be such that, you know, even the mother or the parents should be able to accompany them. So these are the kind of people who we're talking about, accessibility to this kind of people as well. And of course, you know, apart from the blind and so on and so forth, that's very obvious, right? Mm-hmm. So these are the kind of vulnerable. But what I want to share with you, Julian, the majority of Malaysians coming up, and to be very, very quick, are people of the old age. That means that after retirement. And, you know, I think if you don't take care of them now, right, it's going to be too late for us to even do things for them.
Yeah, because it will take some time to implement all these standards.
Yes, and it's going to be more than 10 years, for example, right? Anything new, it takes about 3 or 4 years to receive such change, mm-hmm. and maybe for the next 5 years to embrace change.
Fadila Bahrain is on the Property Show this morning. We're talking about world-class infrastructure and quality lifestyle for the disabled. After the break, we will look into some of the applications of these standards in the property sector. This morning on the Property Show is Fadila Bahrain, and we're talking about world-class infrastructure for quality lifestyle for the disabled. Fadila, do you think that public buildings in general in Malaysia adhere to the so-called universal designs?
That is a very interesting question, Julian. If I can be very frank here, the answer is maybe not 100%.
What is the rough percentage of properties that do and don't?
Maybe about 40% at the moment.
40% adhering to?
Yes. Which is, to me, is very low.
It is very low.
Yeah, not even 50%. So, but then the level of awareness has, I noticed, increased, especially amongst the urban. Because most of the people, I believe, the population of Malaysia, they are all in the urban areas. So I believe that facilities, whatever that is being put up or to be improved, this is where the focus should be. Like looking at the vulnerable groups, for example, right, and when you're talking about maintenance, and when there is a need for companies to be doing maintenance, especially for their mall or facilities, this is when one area they should be looking at. Otherwise, I believe, for example, like DBKL, they might not even want to reissue their certificate of whatever compliance.
Are these standards applicable to both residential and commercial properties?
Yes, it is. Right, at the moment, I think for For the residential, it is very easy because whatever standard that we have here, it is easy for a simple kind of a design. But for the commercial, this is where it comes in, because whatever that we're going to replicate is going to be cost. Right? But can we just turn it around, Julian? Instead of them saying cost, why don't we say let's invest? Let's invest.
Change the words a bit.
Yes, right. Yeah, let's do it the other way around. And let's see how the people is going to be receptive to this. And I hope that whatever commercial building that they're going to erect, right, is going to be a preferred kind of a facility that they want to come and do rental or be there at the shopping mall, or even when they go and watch a movie, for example.
And going by the Act, the Disability Act of 2008, is it compulsory for property developers to implement a universal design by default?
It is not compulsory. I'm not sure how the Act is going to be imposed, because for each state, right, they have to reimpose within their respective state, for example. So whilst I'm here in this show, Julian, I hope that we have been talking very closely, especially with the local government. That's fine. But whilst we are having get them engaged, I would rather that I talk to the industry, for example, and the architects as well, all right, if they can also be self-certified, right, and do it without being told. So this is one angle which I'm looking at. Let's start now.
But then if it is not set into law, how do you ensure that these companies comply?
Yeah, that's why I'm here talking to them, hopefully to listen.
So more from a persuasive viewpoint rather than from fines and penalties.
Yes, I don't think we should do the stick kind of an approach, right? Let's do the carrot kind of an approach now, because Malaysia, I like the speech by Tun Mahathir. He said, you must have a first class mentality. Right?
Like, first class mentality for first class infrastructure,
exactly.
Right? Now, What in your opinion, of some of these other cities around the world that are friendly to the disabled?
Okay, I've had a chat with the mayor of the Kuala Lumpur last month. Right, he just came back from one of the countries. I think in Bulgaria. You'd be surprised that the country is not only clean; it is also people friendly. Right, it is the design of the city itself is accessible to all. Looking at Europe, for example, I think that one is very obvious. Julia, why does everybody love to go there? Because it is accessible, it is safe, it is clean. All right? And in Japan, for example. So is Malaysia. I believe we want to emulate these countries. And I think the best place to start, of course, is Kuala Lumpur. Like we have had an MOU actually with DBKL, and they have agreed that they'll become the champion for Malaysia to be adhering to these standards. Hence, I believe that whoever is going to seek for that kind of a certification or completion or compliance, I believe that is one major area they have to comply to, which is meeting the MS.
Now, if there is a building now which the owner wants to make it conforming to the universal design and provide accessibility to the disabled, how much will it cost to make it disabled friendly? I guess we are more talking about commercial buildings here rather than residential. The cost would be more relevant for commercial buildings.
Yes, right. I believe that, I'm not sure, it depends. Let's say on a simple shopping mall, all right, wherever, what kind, on the kinds of, if we can start first with the restroom, the toilets, right? So that is what, maybe, I'm not sure, it will come to a few thousands, but I don't think it's going to be in hundreds of thousands, no.
Right. But if you're talking about a commercial building, like a skyscraper or something, I mean, there are a lot of new buildings coming out in KL, but there are also a lot of old buildings which have not been readjusted or redesigned to comply with these standards. Then there will be many floors of toilets. So that will cost a lot of money, wouldn't it?
Yeah, okay. In terms of maintenance, so that's one area which I hope that I can speak again next time, Julian, because maintenance is one area which is also a growing thing now in Malaysia. The cost, I believe, it should not be as much as... I'm not sure. Okay, let's talk about the restroom. When such restrooms are being built, I know it is like a panel kind of thing where you can just open up and then screw it back again, things like that. So it should not be more than about a few thousand, and no more than maybe 50,000, for example. And I believe that is like so nothing to the developers.
I guess the easy way is to incorporate this into a policy that makes the developers, before they start building the property, to incorporate all these standards.
Exactly, right. In fact, we are now talking with the Association of Architects, for example, right? They need to be, when they come up with their design, they have to be innovative enough into looking at the standards, right? Creativity and innovation is one key area which architects should start to look at very, very seriously, right? Whatever that we have before, it's not working anymore.
So do you see a price difference, the valuation of properties between conforming and non-conforming buildings?
Yes, I think there will be a price difference. I'm sure that if you are conforming, there is something that you want to be proud of and to be putting a little bit of a price, but not too high, please. All right. Otherwise, it will not be selling as much as you want. But then again, for the first 5 years, I foresee that you can put a price to it. But after 2020, I believe, right, it should not be, the price should not be a reason for you to be saying that because we comply to the standards, right, we are giving you a premium price.
I guess that's one area of research for the department, in the sense that to come up with how much it costs as a percentage of total cost to enable the buildings to have these conforming designs.
Exactly, Julian. This is what we are talking about. No, we can't do this alone, right? We've got colleagues and experts from the architect. Again, as I said, you know, I want to work with them, you know, and then to be telling them and to be asking them if we can do this together, right? Because to me, the government should not be working in silo. I don't believe in that. Let's partner. All right. Let's partner with professional associations, for example, and also let's partner also with that is one association where on the property side, right? So this is also one kind of partnership which I'm looking at.
You know what? It's come to that point, right? That the fact that these standards are in place, which is a step in the right direction, but they are not enforced.
No, these standards aren't compulsory. That's the pity. So developers still have a choice whether or not to implement them.
Well, you know what? Disabled-friendly properties, I mean, they do fetch a higher price on the market, but just the upfront cost can act as a deterrent as well for developers, for all these developers to go down that route, isn't it?
Exactly. As always, it's a double-edged sword.
Well, then, let's see what's new on the property market instead. And we start with?
We start with Desiran Bayu, developed by Kiat An Realty, Sdn. Bhd. Uh-huh. It's located in Stapak, Kuala Lumpur, with a 73-storey terrace or link house. It is on freehold land and has a built-up of about 3,213 to 3,265 square feet. Listing price is 1.58 million ringgit to about 2.56 million ringgit, which comes up to about between 500 and 800 ringgit per square feet.
Wow.
Per square foot.
Wow. Also, the market is this called the Somerset at Serambantu Negeri Sembilan. Now, this one is developed by Serambantu Holdings Sdn. Bhd. 22 semi-detached houses on freehold land. The built-up is about 3,237 square feet. No listing price yet, but each square foot ranges from about 280 to 380 ringgit. So you can do the math from there and find out exactly what it's all about. And that's about it for this week's Property Show. Don't forget to join us again every Friday just after the 9:30 a.m. news as we tackle another property issue. So till then.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.